Good afternoon, 4:30 and 50 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Arlo Barnett.
There are national groups that are coming into Kentucky who are prepared to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars to try to buy this House of Representatives.
Sammy Overly is the new chair of the Kentucky Democratic Party. She spoke out today on a campaign finance bill.
A Portsmouth man is dead following a domestic violence incident.
And State Senator Steve West wants to upgrade computer science programs in Kentucky schools.
In sports, Moorhead State's football coach gets a contract extension.
But Lou cast the stocks.
It'll be partly cloudy tonight with lows in the upper 30s. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
Portsmouth police say a man was found dead around 2 o'clock this morning after they responded to a report of a domestic violence incident. According to WSAZ, the unidentified victim was found in an apartment in the 700 block of 9th Street. A woman was found inside the home, and police say she had various injuries. She was taken to a local hospital.
A 45-year-old Bath County man is held in the Rowan County Jail following his arrest on charges of child exploitation. WIMT is reporting that Kentucky State Police arrested Ricky White Saturday in the parking lot of St. Clair Regional Medical Center. Troopers say he had gone there intending to meet a 14-year-old girl for sex. They say he had exchanged text messages with an undercover officer working as part of a sting operation. White is charged with prohibited use of an electronic communication system to procure a minor for sex.
The director of campus safety at Thomas More College has been fired following his indictment on child pornography charges. The Kentucky Inquirer reports school officials announced in a news release the firing of 53-year-old Robert Marshall. Marshall was arrested Wednesday after a year-long investigation. Covington police say he has been indicted on 36 counts of possession of matter portraying a sexual performance by a minor. Thomas More College President David Armstrong says the school had no prior knowledge of the investigation and first became aware of it on Wednesday.
A former Kentucky investigator is going to prison for tax fraud. Details from Will Clark.
James Fowler has been sentenced to 3 years in prison, another 3 years of supervised release related to his June 2015 conviction on tax fraud charges. Federal prosecutors say the former Russell Springs investigator failed to file tax returns from 2006 through 2009 and then tried to hide his six-figure annual income from the IRS in a variety of ways. During the same time period, Fowler served on the legal team of Karen Cipher, the woman convicted of blackmailing Rick Pitino. I'm Will Clark.
The House Elections Committee has approved a bill that increases political contribution limits for individuals to $2,000. $5,000 for individual donations to the State Executive Committee of a political party, and $5,000 to subdivisions and affiliates of a political party. House Speaker Greg Stumbo testified for the measure at a hearing in Frankfort this afternoon. The Prestonsburg Democrat says candidates need to raise additional dollars within Kentucky to combat the influence of big out-of-state money.
One of the things that's wrong, I think, with American politics these days is obviously this influx of huge out-of-state dark money, soft money, whatever you want to call it. All this does is try to level the playing field a bit. It doesn't overstep, I don't think, by quadrupling or even bringing the individual contributions up to an excessive point.
The bill is opposed by Common Cause of Kentucky. Louisville attorney Richard Belisles is with the organization. He thinks more money being pumped into Kentucky elections will further corrupt an already tarnished process.
This money that is going to come in through the party application is especially problematical. It's not something that's just making up for what's happened before. We don't need more money. This bill is like a Citizens United case on a state level.
State Representative Sandy Overly serves on the committee and voted for the bill. She's the new chair of the Kentucky Democratic Party And she agrees with Speaker Stumbo that it will help level the playing field for House and Senate races.
A boil water advisory remains in effect for Maysville's downtown area after a couple of weekend water line breaks. According to Mayor David Cartmell, the problems began Friday morning.
We had a rupture of a main at the Bank Street pumping station, which pumps the water up the hill to the tower, so the top of the hill in Maysville was without water, I want to say, for about 3.5 hours. And, of course, once that was fixed, you always have, you know, another rupture somewhere.
The other rupture took place in the line near the corner of Limestone and 3rd Streets. According to Cartmell, crews were lucky to find it. A large drop in water pressure at a nearby pumping station helped them discover the problem. The mayor says those doing the repair work hope to have it completed by the end of the day.
Unlike most other counties in eastern Kentucky, Rowan Judge Executive Walter Blevin says his county benefits from a very solid employment situation. According to Blevins, Rowan County has an abnormally large number of employers who are well-rooted in the community.
We got the university and the hospital. We have some pretty stable industrial jobs, you know, Family Dollar, Emerson, or now Regal, has, you know, been here for, you know, 30 years or longer. And we've got a good commercial jobs as well. You know, Walmart's here, that helps. It's a big employer as well.
Morehead State University and St. Clair Regional Medical Center combined account for over 2,200 jobs. Rowan County's unemployment rate for December 2015 was 5.9%, but Blevins expects that figure to decrease significantly in the coming months because of the number of major construction projects that will be happening in the county.
A state representative who owns a small insurance business says he'd be ashamed of himself if he paid his employees the minimum wage. Democrat Jeff Greer operates Greer Insurance Agency in Brandenburg. He supports House Speaker Greg Stumbo's bill to raise Kentucky's minimum wage to $10.10 an hour. Greer has 4 employees and says he'd be exempted from the higher wage requirement under the speaker's proposal, but he'd pay for it anyway.
I can't speak for the big McDonald's and Burger Kings. Can't do it. But I can speak for small town Kentucky and small business owners because I'm one of them. I don't pay minimum wage. I pay above it. But if you can't pay that in today's economy, I think that you need to go back to school and take a management course.
Greer says groups opposed to the increase have failed to document just how it would hurt Kentucky's businesses.
The secretary of the Kentucky Labor Cabinet says he wants to create apprenticeship programs across the state to enhance the employability of students who've just graduated from college or technical school. Derek Ramsey says he doesn't want young people leaving their universities with a lot of debt and no jobs. He says apprenticeships are especially valuable for employment in skilled technical positions.
As we look at our fast-paced world, the crafts is where it's at right now. And having been in education or higher ed for 16 years of my professional career and seeing and understanding the value of where things are today. And not only were we preparing for our state, but this is something that they could take anywhere around the country with this apprenticeship program.
Ramsey testified last week before the House Labor and Industry Committee.
Pathways Substance Abuse Prevention Coordinator Amy Jeffers says the makers of e-cigarettes are targeting young people to develop a new generation of smokers. She'd like to see the product banned from television advertising.
I do, but I don't know where that'll go. Again, we kind of fell into a loophole of what was already happening with cigarettes because they're not considered a tobacco product. But according to the FDA, they are a tobacco product. They still consider e-cigarettes a tobacco product.
Jeffers says young people are being subjected to a multimedia blitz to promote e-cigarettes. She's concerned about that because she claims the vapors contain carcinogenic particles that are harmful to the pulmonary system. Pathways is based in Ashland and has substance abuse programs in 10 eastern Kentucky counties.
Officials from Fleming Mason Energy are warning their customers against using an online payment website. Doxo.com is a legitimate site that offers several types of payment services across the nation, but it is also apparently creating difficulties for some bill payers. Mary Beth Nance is Fleming Mason's Director of Member Services.
The problem with it is it charges for that, and we don't charge our customers for that. And it also gets the payments to us late. It's not an automatic payment type thing.
According to Nance, Fleming Mason offers its customers various ways to pay their bills, such as using its website. However, she says none of them charge any fees for their use.
A phone scam from people claiming to be the IRS have been reported in the area recently. The calls usually come in from a 505 area code and have been somewhat focused in the Lewis County area. The callers claim to be from the IRS and threaten legal action if the person isn't compliant. That's when they gain personal information from the victim. Trooper Joe Veneman from the Kentucky State Police has some advice for anyone who might receive one of these calls.
Well, what I would recommend anybody is just anytime they get a call from that number, if they recognize the number, just don't answer the phone. And if there's any way possible, maybe contact the FCC about putting it on the do not call list.
The IRS never contacts individuals by phone. Anyone who'd like to report suspicious activity can contact the KSP at 1-800-222-5555.
Kentucky's junior senator and presidential candidate Rand Paul thinks he'll surprise some people with his showing in today's Iowa caucuses. The Republican appeared Sunday on Fox and Friends.
There are 1,600 precincts in Iowa, and we have over 1,000 of them with chairs who will show up, get their neighbors, bring their neighbors, and who will actually speak at the caucus for us. They've made 1 million phone calls in Iowa. We think there's really a chance that we can way outperform the polls and surprise some people on Monday, and we're hoping for it.
Paul says many college students are supporting his campaign.
Governor Matt Bevin says it is not necessary for Kentucky's post-secondary schools to cut their budgets by 4.5% by June 30th. The Republican says that's what he told university presidents during a conference call last week. Bevin appeared Sunday on KET's One-to-One with Bill Goodman. He says he's looking at a 30-month time frame for achieving spending reductions. He says as long as cuts totaling 4.5% are achieved this year and 9% in each of the next 2 years, the targets will be met. How the individual schools do that, he says, is up to them.
Some of that may be accomplished simply by through attrition. Maybe you know that, okay, 8 months from now, the following people are going to retire. We don't need to let anybody go. And we just won't hire those positions back. And over the months that follow that, the next 22 months, we'll save X. That'll contribute to the dollars. It'll be that time. I'm leaving an amazing amount of latitude to them to find a way to make the numbers work.
Bevin says his total budget request over the next 2 years only calls for spending cuts of 2.5%. He says he's very confident that can be done.
State Senator Reginald Thomas says Governor Bevin's proposed budget reverses a trend set 2 years ago when former Governor Steve Beshear increased funding for primary and secondary education by $181 million. The Lexington Democrat says the new Republican governor's plan calls for flatlining education.
Not to mention how he just destroys public universities in his budget. So it seems to me that we ought to be focused on, as a legislative body, looking at ways in which we can raise revenues to provide more money to public education.
Thomas made his comments last Thursday at a Senate Education Committee hearing.
State Senator Steve West is co-sponsoring legislation that sets up a science and mathematics advancement fund to provide grants to school districts for development and implementation of computer science programs. The Bourbon County Republican's district includes Rowan County. He's hoping the program will not be entirely dependent on state money.
To me, it sure would be nice if we could have a mechanism set up where a local company for that school district, if they wanted to strike a check and pay for the school computer lab, to me, that's a way we could get further down the road quicker with this and not have to wait on the public funding.
After hearing Governor Bevin's budget address last week, West says he doesn't think there's going to be much extra money for new programs. West is a member of the Senate Education Committee.
And here is the weather forecast for the MSPR listing area, including the counties of Carter, Rowan, and Magoffin. Tonight, mostly cloudy, patchy, dense fog, lows around 38 degrees. Tuesday, warm, mostly cloudy, patchy, dense fog early, a 20% chance of isolated rain showers in the afternoon, highs around 65. Tuesday night, a 90% chance of showers and a slight chance of thunderstorms late, low in the lower 50s. Around the region, it is 49 in Ashland, 48 in Flemingsburg, 47 in Inez, 51 in Lexington, 52 in Winchester, and on the campus of Morehead State University, it is 50 degrees. 4:46, you are tuned to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. It's good to have your company on this Monday afternoon. On our feature segment, a new consumer report says that maintaining a tobacco habit costs the average Kentucky smoker more than $240,000 a year. The Kentucky News Connection's Greg Stottlemyre has more.
We all know smoking cigarettes is an expensive habit, but have you ever thought about just how much money it costs people over their lifetimes? New research compiled by the consumer survey company WaddleTub determined that the average cost for America's 66 million tobacco users goes well beyond $1 million, sometimes more than $2 million, depending on where you live. WaddleTub's Jill Gonzalez says in addition to buying tobacco, a smoker has health care costs and income losses.
A lot of times it's not something that you think about. Just investing $5, $6, all the way up to $12 a day into the stock market. But that's how much money you could be earning. So forget the Powerball, you know. This could be a one-stop shop for you if you just quit smoking.
WaddleTub put the lifetime cost per smoker in Kentucky at $1,238,247. That's more than $24,000 a year, according to the survey. Gonzalez says if the cost of smoking doesn't get your attention, consider these statistics. The average smoker, who starts at age 18, will only live to age 69, and tobacco kills about 500,000 Americans each year. Helping convince youth to not smoke or quit smoking is easier said than done, according to Amy Barkley with a campaign for tobacco-free kids. She says while youth smoking has declined in Kentucky, with 18% of high school students now lighting up, other challenges have emerged.
The use of other products, smokeless tobacco and electronic cigarettes, some of these novel nicotine products, are becoming more and more popular among kids.
Barkley claims Kentucky has been unable to deal with the growing problem because it does not have a fully funded tobacco prevention program.
So once again, the tobacco industry is getting ahead of the game, and we are extremely outgunned. Our kids have no chance.
According to a report from the Campaign for Tobacco-Free Kids, the tobacco companies are spending 118 times more on marketing their products in Kentucky than the state is on prevention. I'm Greg Stottlemyre reporting for Kentucky News Connection.
4:48, you are listening to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. All Things Considered from NPR is coming up at 5 o'clock in Mike Has Sports right after we take this time out.
Support for MSPR comes from Eat Gallery, exquisite art treasures, 46 West 2nd Street in downtown Maysville. Eat Gallery features fine jewelry created by artisans from across America and natural pieces found all over the world. Eat Gallery offers handmade heirlooms, earrings, bracelets, pocket knives, rings, and necklaces. Open Tuesdays through Fridays, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. and Saturdays, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Eat Gallery can be reached at 606-564-5578 and online at eatgallery.com.
Success does not go unnoticed. Good afternoon, I'm MSPR's Michael Gustin with the Sports Report. After improving each year since taking over three seasons ago, Morehead State football coach Rob Tenier has earned himself a contract extension through the 2019 season. Tenier's Eagles program is coming off a 7-4 season, which was the program's best finish since 2007. This year's team also had 17 All-Pioneer Football League selections, including the Offensive Player of the Year and quarterback Austin Gayhafer. Thursday Night Football will air on both CBS and NBC next season. The NFL announced today that it had agreed to a two-year deal with the networks, CBS had a broadcast games in partnership with the NFL Network the past two seasons. CBS and NBC will each air five Thursday night matchups in 2016 and 17, increasing the number of games on the traditional broadcast TV from 8 to 10 per season. Those will again be simulcast on NFL Network. NFL Network will still televise 8 games exclusively throughout the 2016-17 seasons. The NCAA men's basketball AP poll is out for the first week of February. Oklahoma still tops the list with an 18-2 record. Rounding out the top five is North Carolina, Villanova, Maryland, and Iowa. Meanwhile, Kentucky stays at number 20 after losing to Kansas in overtime on Saturday. And the Duke Blue Devils, 8-year streak of being in the top 25 has ended this week, being replaced by the Dayton Flyers at number 24. Things appear to be on the upswing for the Morehead State Basketball Eagles. Saturday's 70-67 triumph at Eastern Kentucky marked Morehead's 6th victory in its last 8 games. Xavier Moon led 4 Eagles in double figures with 14 points. In another critical factor, MSU held the OVC's top 3-point shooting team to just 1 of 17 outside the arc. Junior forward Dewan Namorero says the Eagles' defense rose to the occasion.
Definitely did. I mean, we had a lot of mishaps, especially with Eastern Illinois and a lot of other games that we lost close to the wire. And coach, we just had it on at practice that we need to be disciplined.
At 12-9 overall and 6-3 in the OVC, the Eagles hit the road to meet East Division leader Belmont Thursday. While disappointed about the Eagles' 193 weekend overtime loss at Eastern Kentucky, Morehead State women's basketball coach Greg Todd remains optimistic about his team. Down by 10 points with 2:14 to go in regulation, Todd liked the fight his players showed in battling back to send the contest into its extra period.
Give our girls credit to go into overtime on their home floor. Proud of them. I thought did some good things, some things we can learn from, but definitely had some opportunities.
At 9-14, including a 3-6 OVC mark, the MSU women visit Belmont on Wednesday. Kentucky basketball coach John Calipari is in no mood to accept moral victories. Speaking after Saturday's overtime loss at Fog Allen Fieldhouse to number 4 Kansas, Calipari said it was hard for him to focus on the positives in the game for UK.
I'm still hacked off that we lost, but I mean, I'll probably think of something that was good we fought. And you know, you when you have a chance to win like we did, you choke it. Every play is a winning play.
Calipari says he's still trying to teach his team how to win. The 16-14 Wildcats will have a chance to show they've learned some lessons tomorrow night at Tennessee. Round County's basketball teams have a 6 o'clock twin bill tonight at home against Fleming County. The 15-6 Lady Vikings meet the Lady Panthers in the opener. The boys' game is at 7:30. Coach Sean Thacker's 11-8 Vikings have lost some close ones this season, but he thinks that will pay off when they get to postseason play.
You know, we just hammered people a lot last year, and I don't think at the end of the day it had us ready to go when it come postseason. We weren't ready. You know, to lack of a better term, you weren't in the vice enough to where to feel the pressure and know how to handle it.
Round lost 3 straight. The Vikes will take on a Fleming team that's just 2-18 this season. For Major League Baseball, the New York Yankees have announced that first baseman Greg Bird will have to undergo shoulder surgery that will sideline him for the 2016 season. With the start of his team's 2016 season less than 3 weeks away, Morehead State baseball coach Mike McGuire likes the look of his Eagles. However, he admits MSU's veteran pitching staff will likely have to carry the team through the first part of the campaign.
If we pitch like we're capable of, it takes a little pressure off offensively. You know, when you're incorporating as many new guys as we are to our lineup, you're going to be far from a finished product offensively early on. I mean, you got kids getting their first college at-bats.
The Baseball Eagles open their schedule on February 16th at North Carolina Central. Former MSU baseball standout Taylor Davis has been invited to the Chicago Cubs spring training on a non-roster invitation. Davis was picked up by the Cubs in the summer of 2011 on a free agent contract and has been in the club's farm system since. Last year, he posted a .309 batting average with AAA Iowa. And finally, in sports today, after weather delays, the Farmer Insurance Open is finally in the books. Brant Snedeker outlasted the wins at Torrey Pines, winning the tournament, carding 6-under par for the Open. KJ Choi finished second, shooting a 76 today for 5-under overall. For more at State Public Radio Sports, I'm Michael Gustin reporting.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Men's basketball will begin their final home game schedule by hosting Eastern Kentucky at 7 p.m. on Thursday, February 11th. Tickets available from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. stocks closed narrowly mixed. This is the first trading day of February, despite sharp declines in oil prices and also soft China manufacturing data. The NASDAQ Composite did manage a gain as Facebook extended recent gains, and also Alphabet was strong ahead of its earnings report. And, of course, Alphabet was formerly known as Google, and Alphabet's earnings report that actually was released was very strong. And at the close, the Dow Industrials did finish with a loss of 17.12 after being down much more earlier, and the blue chip average ended at 16,449.18. The S&P 500 was down 0.86 at 1939.38, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 6.41 at 4620.37. The market was helped out midday from comments by Fed Vice Chairman Stanley Fisher, which hinted that the Fed would be in no rush to raise interest rates here in 2016, despite comments made by the Fed late last year that there could be as many as 4 rate hikes. Utility stocks closed 1% higher to lead S&P 500 advancers, and they were followed by telecommunications. The Dow Transports reversed an earlier decline to near break-even as airlines led advancers in the transport average. Treasury bond yields were slightly higher today, with the 2-year yield at 0.81% and the 10-year finishing at 1.95%. In morning earnings reports, Aetna earned an adjusted $1.37 a share, 16 cents above estimates, with revenue also being forecast. The health insurer was helped by improved membership numbers and margins in its Medicare business. It is also predicting full-year 2016 earnings of $7.75, which was below earlier estimates of $8.05. The stock was up 1.3% in trading today. Cardinal Health posted earnings that beat on both the top and bottom line, helped by factors such as growth in its customer base and solid fundamentals. However, Cardinal stock was down 2.5% as there was some disappointment in terms of the company's projections for 2016. Crude oil futures for March delivery fell $2.11, finishing at $31.51 a barrel. Turning now to individual stocks, it was AEP up 81 cents at 61.78, CSX down 16 cents at 22.86, AK Steel up 3 cents at 207, Marathon Petroleum down 4 cents at 41.75, Ashland Incorporated down $1.24 at 93.52, and Community Trust Bank was down 6 cents to finish at 34.78. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Turning once again to a look at the weather forecast, tonight mostly cloudy with patchy dense valley fog and lows around 38 degrees. For tomorrow, it'll be warm and mostly cloudy, patchy dense valley fog early, a 20% chance of isolated rain showers in the afternoon, highs during the day around 65 degrees. And it's currently sitting at 49 in Ashland, it's 48 degrees in Flemingsburg, 51 in Winchester, and 50 degrees here in Moorhead.
And that'll do it for us on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had assistance from Chuck Baraz, Tanner Boyd, Jordan Simonson, Samantha Morrill, Braxton Howard, Michael Gustin, and Sean Delaney. From the Kentucky News Connection, Greg Stottlemyre, and from the Kentucky News Network, Will Clark. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202 BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Arlo Barnett and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Dan Conte, Moorhead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.